There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
High in the sky, a man flies a biplane.
Witness Flight Lieutenant William Terence Decker, Royal Flying Corps, returning from a patrol somewhere over France. The year is 1917. The problem is that the lieutenant is hopelessly lost. Lieutenant Decker will soon discover that a man can be lost not only in terms of maps and miles, but also in time. And time in this case can be measured in eternities.
The biplane lands and is dwarfed by a modern U.S. Air Force plane on the tarmac. A sign identifies this as an air base in France. A military jeep tries to intercept the biplane as it taxis about. The biplane comes to a stop. Decker removes his goggles and his leather hat.
All right, mister, get out of there.
Decker climbs out of the cockpit.
What do you think you're doing? Who in the name of... What do you mean running this antique in front of an approaching aircraft? Don't you understand what I'm saying? Are you French?
I'm British. Are you American?
Can't you see this is an American base?
But all this? We had no idea you were so advanced.
What? You better come with me.
The American officer leads Decker into the administration building on the base. Into the office of Major General George Harper.
Major Wilson to see you, General.
Sit down, Major. I'll be with you in a minute.
They salute. Decker walks up to the General's desk. General Harper looks at him with a mixture of surprise and amusement.
What is this?
This man, sir. He's apparently British. He landed his ship on our field. His ship, I might add.
Who are you?
Second Lieutenant William Terence Decker, sir. Royal Flying Corps.
You mean Royal Air Force?
No, sir. Royal Flying Corps.
What are you doing here? Why are you dressed like that?
I beg your pardon, sir.
There's some kind of an air show nearby?
Air show, sir?
Are you making a film?
I'm afraid I don't quite understand you, sir.
You don't understand? What are you... Why are you wearing this costume?
This is my uniform, sir.
You're... At ease.
Thanks, sir. Excuse me, sir. Where exactly am I?
Where exactly did you think you were?
Well, I thought I was landing at 56 Squadron RFC.
56 Squadron RFC? Wasn't that
looking at Harper, then turning to Decker.
What's today's date?
March the 5th.
What year?
Why, 1917.
1917?
Yes, that's correct.
Decker looks back at Wilson.
Well, isn't it?
Who shakes his head.
It's March the 5th, 1959, Lieutenant.
Decker looks at the General. Silently mouths the words, 1959. Turns around, walks over to a framed photograph of aircraft on the wall.
Look here. You're not joking with me, are you?
Wilson shakes his head.
Good Lord.
Decker sits down.
You don't seriously expect us to believe that...
Lighting his pipe.
But it's true. It's true. When I took off this morning, it was 1917.
He walks to the window, watches an Air Force plane taxiing. Then looks up at a large, billowing cloud.
That cloud. While I was passing through it, I couldn't hear my engine. It was like being swallowed in a vacuum. Same sort of thing happened to Guinmaire.
Harper turns toward Wilson.
The French fighter pilot?
He disappeared one day while flying. At the memorial service, the Cardinal said, he belonged to the sky, and the sky has taken him.
Who the devil do you think you're fooling, Decker? Or whatever your name is.
Sir, I swear to you, when I took off this morning, it was March the 5th, 1917. Mac and I were going on our... Captain Mackay.
Mackay?
Yes, we're in the same...
Alexander Mackay?
How did you know?
What have you got to do with
that? How did you know?
I suppose you're going to tell us you don't know that Alexander Mackay... Air Vice Marshal Alexander Mackay is at this moment en route to this base for a tour of inspection.
But that's impossible.
Why is it impossible, Lieutenant Decker?
Because he's dead.
Harper and Wilson sort through Decker's personal effects.
It's ingenious, I'll give it that much.
This could be checked on, sir.
If we wanted to waste the time, yes.
If it's a hoax, it's certainly an elaborate one.
If it's a hoax, Major.
I mean, sir, it's hard to believe that anyone would go to such incredible lengths just to play a joke.
Who said it was a joke?
All right, sir, what is it?
We'll find out when Mackay arrives.
We could ask the Minister of War in London. There might be records on this, Decker.
I think you believe him.
No, sir. It's just that I can't help feeling there's something more to this than just a hoax.
Exactly.
Emptying bullets from a pistol.
You don't think he meant to use that on Mackay?
We'll know soon enough.
Sir, I'd swear the man was genuinely shocked when he heard Mackay was coming here. If he'd meant to do the man any harm, he'd have worn his gun. He wouldn't have left it in his plane.
Major, if you'll excuse me, I have a lot of work to do.
But, General, this whole idea doesn't make any sense.
Major! If you'll excuse me.
Yes, sir.
They salute, and Wilson walks out. Military aircraft fly in formation. Wilson enters a room where Decker is being held. Takes off his hat.
Lieutenant?
Why am I a prisoner here?
Not quite as bad as all that.
I'm being kept here, am I not?
I'm only following orders, Decker.
Now look here, what earthly good is it going to do for me to see Mackay?
Why are you so afraid of seeing Mackay?
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything.
Well then?
Well, all right, I'll see him.
Good. About that white cloud you spoke of.
I've told you everything.
Now look here, Decker. You realize you're asking us to believe something rather incredible. A cloud of silence? A World War I pilot landing an American attack base in France in 1959? Such a thing just doesn't happen every day.
Well, it happened today. Now look here, I've told you I'll see Mackay. Now, why don't you leave me alone?
Decker sits down, facing away from Wilson. Wilson sits down on the desk.
You really feel you know him, don't you?
Know him? Old Leadbottom?
Leadbottom?
Yeah, well, whenever we flew over the German lines, the soldiers fired at us. Well, one day, Mac got hit in a most embarrassing spot. I always called him Old Leadbottom after that. It's a private joke, of course. Mac's a proud fellow, you know. He wouldn't like it if I bruited it about.
But why do you keep insisting that he's dead?
Because the last I saw of him, he was caught in a circle of seven German planes. There was nothing I could do about it. Of course, I was involved with three others.
Obviously, he got away.
I don't see how he could have.
Not only could have, he did. He was one of Britain's great heroes during the Blitz. That was the second war we told you about. He won the DFC for knocking down three German bombers one night over London. He undoubtedly saved hundreds of lives, maybe even thousands.
Decker stands up and rushes for the door.
Decker!
He is stopped by Wilson and another airman.
Manage, sir?
Yes, you can wait outside. What's wrong, Decker?
I've got to leave.
That's impossible. Mackay will be here in a little while and we'll get to the bottom of this.
I tell you, I can't see him.
Why not?
Because he'll know me for what I am.
What are you?
I'm a coward! I'm a coward! I've always been a coward. All my life I've been running away. Pretending to be something I never was, never could be. That's why I'm here, because I was trying to run away. Because I wanted so desperately to escape that I did escape. I got by with my pretending well enough. My kind of strained idiocy is exactly the brand we all put on. Playing the part, you know? Boys on a lark. Laughing, joking, drinking. Oh, it's too much, all of it. Then turning into deadly, ice-cold killers in the sky. Although not me, of course. No, not me. Up there, I'm just as afraid as I am on the ground. And Mac and I are supposed to go on patrols together, but I can usually manage to persuade him into splitting up. You know, I think he actually hopes he'll run into some trouble. But me, well, I just linger in the clouds, flying back and forth, dreading the possibility that I might see an enemy plane and just hoping for enough time to pass so that I can go back. You know, sometimes I think I'll land behind the German lines and I'll let myself be captured. The pilots always get the best of treatment, you know. But I'm afraid of doing that, Eden. I'm afraid that I'd be discovered and discredited. I couldn't bear that. I have to carry on the self-delusion, you know. You know, I've actually fired bullets through the cockpit walls so that the chaps will see them and be impressed. God help me.
It isn't a crime to be afraid, Decker. Every pilot's afraid at one time or another. I'm sure Mackay would understand that.
No.
Well, what makes you think he knows, anyway?
Because it was me that let the Germans trap him.
But I thought you said you were fighting three German planes yourself, so how...
I wasn't fighting anyone. I was running! When the Germans came at us, I left him up there to die.
Well, he didn't die!
Well, I can't understand that.
Decker sits down and lowers his head.
Well, maybe he got help somehow.
Decker looks up.
What's the matter?
What you said.
What?
That he got help.
It's certainly in the realm of possibility.
Well, you see? Maybe it was me that helped him.
Decker, I said when he got help, I meant that somebody else...
Well, there wasn't anyone within 50 miles who could have helped him. Maybe it wasn't an accident that I landed here. Maybe I was brought here for a purpose. To find out that Mac had survived. To find out that time was giving me a second chance. You've got to let me go.
But I can't.
But you've got to, don't you see? It's the only chance I have. It's the only chance he has.
But he's alive. He's coming here today.
How do you know that? How do you know that if I don't get back, he won't be here? How do you know that he won't have been killed 42 years ago unless I help him now?
That's insanity, Decker.
Turning away from him, Decker gets up and punches Wilson to the floor. Runs out, punches the airman guarding the door. Runs outside. Heads for the tarmac. Meanwhile, Wilson comes too. Slowly rises to his feet, gets his hat, and goes out. Decker looks around. Covers his ears as a helicopter lands. Runs toward his biplane. Out of breath, he leans on the wing to rest. Starts to climb in. Runs around to the propeller. Pulls down on the propeller to start the engine as Wilson runs closer to him. Wilson reaches the biplane.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Decker punches him down. Climbs in the cockpit. Pulls on his hat. Wilson gets up and points a gun at him.
Turn it off!
No! But can't you understand it? It's not just him, it's all those other lives, you say. Are they to be lost as well?
Turn it off, Decker, or I'll fire!
Well, fire! I'd rather die.
Wilson steps back, and the wind from the propeller blows his hat off. The biplane starts down the field. The biplane takes off, makes a series of sharply banked turns. Wilson puts the gun back in the holster. As the plane makes its way upward and disappears into the clouds. In Harper's office.
You're in trouble, Major. I hope you know that.
I know it, sir.
You know, your thought processes elude me. They positively elude me. Letting that maniac loose.
Yes, sir.
How could you possibly... Yes?
Air Vice Marshal McKay, sir.
Fine. We're supposed to meet him when he landed. All right. At ease.
McKay enters.
Sir? Marshal McKay.
How do you do, General?
I'm very pleased to meet you, sir. I trust you had a comfortable flight.
Oh, yes, yes, splendid.
Good, good. This is Major Wilson.
How do you do, sir?
Honored, Major.
Won't you sit down, sir?
Thank you.
May I?
Taking his hat.
Oh, thanks.
McKay sits down.
Sir, did you ever know a man by the name of William Terence Decker?
Terry Decker?
Oh, I certainly should know him. Saved my life.
What?
How did he save your life, sir?
Well, you see, we were out on patrol together. Now, as a rule, we'd have split up. But on that day, we were flying together. When a flight of Germans dropped down on us.
You fought them together?
Well, not at first.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, I had a feeling that old Terry was lighting out on me.
He flew away?
Yes. Climbed high. Disappeared in a cloud.
A white cloud, sir?
I don't know. I suppose so.
And then?
Well, then, out of nowhere, it seemed, Terry came diving down, his gun chattering away. He got three of the blighters before they got him. Saved my life.
And he did get back.
What?
Look, didn't the Germans usually bring back the personal effects of pilots who've been shot down?
Usually.
I say, what is this all about?
But they brought back his.
No.
No.
Harper opens his desk drawer. Hands over Decker's identification papers. McKay reaches down on the desk.
Where in heaven's name did you get these?
They're his?
Yes. Now what the devil is this all about?
Maybe you'd better sit down, old lead bottom.
McKay turns and looks at Wilson.
What did you call me?
Harper looks out the window.
Dialogue from a play, Hamlet to Horatio. There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. Dialogue from a play written long before men took to the sky. There are more things in heaven and earth and in the sky that perhaps can be dreamt of. And somewhere in between heaven, the sky, the earth, lies the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by William Claxton. Written by Richard Matheson. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Kenneth Hay, Alexander Skirby, Simon Scott. With Robert Warwick, Harry Raybould, Jerry Catron. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Benault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Joseph Gluck. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated Title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Assistance of the Department of Defense and the Department of the Air Force in the making of this film is gratefully acknowledged. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio Description by Lou Lasher.